welcome my father here, who has come to spend some time with the family.
And Shem Nachas.
Hopefully, depending on how the shir goes, Shem Nachas.
Go.
So we began Chodesh El this morning, last evening, and the Mechaber writes in Simin Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, Noagim Lokum Ba'ashmeres Lomer Slichos V'tachanunim. One of the minhagim which somehow the Bnei Ashkenaz have left out, Mirosh Chodesh Elo Ve'eloch Ad Yom HaKippurim. The minhag was to say Slichas, as we know the Bnei Svarad still do. They say Slichas from the beginning of Elo, Rosh Chodesh Elo to Yom HaKippurim. Minhag Bnei Ashkenaz Einokein. The minhag of Ashkenaz is not to do that. Elo Mirosh Chodesh Ve'eloch Maschilin Liskoa Achar Hatfila Shachris. The minhag that we have is merely to blow the shofar. So we have one minhag to blow the shofar, which is already mentioned in Ramah. And the Mishnah Berurah brings another well-known minhag that we began saying, L'David, says the Mishnah Berurah, Ad Yom HaKippurim, V'noagim B'bidinoseinu, Mirosh Chodesh Elo Ad Yom HaKippurim, Lomar B'chol Yom, Acher Gemar HaTfila. We say every day after the conclusion of davening, Mizmor L'David Hashem Ori. We say Mizmor Kapitel Chav Zayin, L'David Hashem Ori. Boker ve'erev, we say it in the morning and evening, and depending on the minog, either you say it after mincha or you say it after mariv. We discussed this Shabbos, that when there's a difference in minhagim, does one finds himself in a shul which has a differing minhag than that of his, so what should he do? So there's a big machlokes ha'poskim, whether the concept of lo yisus goy to do applies to minhagim or not. Many poskim say that it does not apply to minhagim, and therefore one is able to follow his own minhag. I don't know what the big deal is. You say one extra time, not the end of the world, but a person should at least say it twice a day. Boker ba'erev. That's the minhag that the Mishnah Berurah brings. This minhag is brought from the Mata Ephraim. The Mata Ephraim brings his minhag as well. And Mata Ephraim writes, what is the reasoning behind this minhag? V'hu al pi medrash shoicher tov. There's a medrash Tehillim, a medrash shoicher tov, which has become fairly well known. Shedorash oiri. We know that it says, L'David Hashem oiri. Oiri zu Rosh Hashanah, v'yishi zu Yom HaKippurim. And then he adds on the Mata Ephraim, something which is not in the Medrash, v'chein ki it's b'neini b'psuko, is merames to Sukkah. So this is the connection of the Mata Ephraim. He says that presumably the minhag started because of this Medrash. The Medrash Shoichetai, the Medrash Tehillim, does make this connection between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, and therefore that is probably why we began reciting it. However, if you take a look at many of the minhagim from different towns in Europe, predominantly the Hasidish towns, many of the Hasidish Mesorah are that to not recite L'David at all. You take a look in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas, which often quotes the Hasidish Mesorah, so he quotes many that says that a person should specifically not say L'David. It's interesting, you look at the Chidah says, I don't know what the big deal is. Everyone's saying Bein Kessel, also you say from the beginning of Elo. The Chidah says, I think you should say L'David a whole year. Every day it's a good school to say L'David. Whereas the Chassidim write that you could say L'David as long as you want, but don't say it from Rosh Chodesh Elo. B'sidr Lev Sameach Shemevi Sheshama Me Hayid HaKadosh HaYehudi HaKadosh Chus HaYagn Aleinu Lo Amro. He didn't say it. Why didn't he say it? Because the Chayze, his Rebbe, didn't say it. And he brings many, many different Mesorahs from different Chassidim, the Rapshitzers, the different Chassidim, Sanz doesn't say it. Many, many Chassidim have the Minhag Bidavka not to recite Kapitel Chav Zayin during this time. And the question is obviously why. Why say it and why not to say it? What is the root of the different Minhagim? So what's interesting to... Vilna Gaon also didn't say it, right? No one could confuse him with a chassid. No one could confuse him with a chassid. You take a look at Maisa Rav. Maisa Rav, they're very strong. You say that the Gaon was makbid. They don't say that he says you don't have to say it. He says the Gaon was makbid not to say it. Because, again, it didn't have the Mishairah, anything which is not well-rooted in Chazal, or at least in Kisvei HaRizal, the Gaon seemed to have rejected. So where does it come from? Okay, so where does it come from? Why do some people say it, some people not? It's not mentioned in Chazal, it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned in Ramah. So the first place we come to it is the Mata Ephraim. So Rav Shneir Zalman Lyman, we know, is a great historian, is a good historian, Jewish historian. He has done a lot of research and written extensively on this topic. Where does this minhag come from to recite Le David? Why do some people say it and some people don't say it? So he says, of course, it doesn't come from the Matta Ephraim. Matta Ephraim was just a few generations ago. It can't be that a minhag, the Chol Tfutzis Yisrael, began from him. But he says that one of the earliest mekoros that we had, that we knew about, this minhag of reciting L'David for a long time, the earliest makor was from a sefer called Chemdas Yomim. Chemdas Yomim is a sefer with many, many divrei musar, many, many gems in there. In fact, many of the minhagim that we know that come from Kabbalah are recorded in the Sefer Chemdas Yamin. For instance, many of the things which have become popular recently on Tu Bishvat, the concept of a Tu Bishvat Seder, that originally comes from the Sefer Chemdas Yamin. Now, the Sefer Chemdas Yamin is quite an enigma. Why? Because we don't know who wrote the Sefer Chemdas Yamin. We don't know who wrote it, even though there's much good, very, very good Torah in there and a lot of interesting divrei musar in there. It is shrouded in mystery and perhaps has become, over the time, somewhat notorious. Why? Because there was a certain edition. I believe Dr. Lyman writes it was the second edition printing of the Chemdas Yamin, which somehow was printed with a picture in its front. What was that picture of? The Nasan Hanavi, the Nasan who considered himself to be the prophet of Shabtai Tzvi. So he printed, whoever published the Sefer, at least the second time around, published it with a picture of the greatest Talmud of Shabtai Tzvi. And as if that wasn't bad enough, they included a poem which was written by this same Nasan HaNavi. So you have this Sefer. No one knows who wrote it. The only thing you know about it is that it's a picture of the greatest, the worst Shabtai Tzvi person. It has a poem written by him. So of course, what's going to happen? The Sefer is going to be rejected. And for a long time, the entire source that we had for this minhag of saying L'David came from this very Sefer. It is very likely, he argues, that the reason why so many groups amongst the Hasidim in particular have rejected adamantly, they don't just say that there's no mukkar for it. Some of them's right, we don't find it in the Arizal, we don't do anything that's not found in the Arizal. But there are many things we do, even if they're not found in the Arizal. So what was the reason that they rejected it? So he argues that perhaps, very likely, it was because it had this association with the Sefer of Chemdas Hayamim. And when rejecting Chemdas Hayamim, together with the Sefer, they rejected all the Minhagim that were brought in it. And therefore, they were adamant that people bedafka not recite L'David. However, we know that he is, when it comes to Minhagim Yisrael, he is Sherlock Holmes. And he does his research. And he found that this minhag of L'David, in fact, now we know, because Sfarim that have been published later, for many years we didn't have these Sfarim, but published Sfarim that have come to light more recently, we know, already before the Chemdas Yamin, record this minhag of reciting L'David twice, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, from Rosh Chodesh El all the way through Simchas Torah or Hoshana Rabbah. They record this minhag, Sfarim that were written well before Chemdas Yamin. Chemdas Yamin was written in 1737, it was first published. The Sfarim that he found, Shem Toiv Katan is one Sefer, a Sefer called Sefer Zechariah. These are written in the early 1700s, 1706, 1709, all Sfarim which predate the Chemdas Yamim, and they already have this minhag. But interestingly enough, they don't say anything about Oiri Zu Rosh Hashanah, Yishi Zu Yom Kippur. There's nothing about that. It just says, we say this Erev Avoker, and this will be a tremendous skula. Umavir Kol HaMikatrigim. It will take care of anyone. The other Sefer Sfarim, right? If anyone has a Gzardin on them, even if it's already been sealed, this saying this Kippahitl twice a day, once in the morning, once at night, could take care of a Gzardin. So we know for a fact that it doesn't come from the Sefer Chemdas Yamin. In fact, later, more recently, more research has been done about the Sefer Chemdas Yamin, and it's basically been proven that the Chemdas Yamin, we don't know who wrote it, but we do know that it wasn't from a Sabbatian. So the Sefer seems to be a kosher Sefer, and this minhag doesn't come from that Sefer. He quoted at the end of this shir, Dr. Lyman, a fascinating story, where he records as follows. He quoted it from a Sefer called Nezer HaKodesh. I'm not sure where this sefer comes from. I believe it's from Sanzer, it's from the Sanzer dynasty. But any sefer that he quotes, we know, has good yichas. And he says that one time the sefer quotes a maisa that Reb Shimon from Zelichov, Reb Shimon from Zelichov was the mashkiach in Reb Meir Shapira's yeshiva, yeshiva's Chachmei Lubin. He died, he was killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, in the year 1944. But he was a big goyin, he was a magid shir in the yeshiva, and he was the mashkiach in the yeshiva, a big tzaddik. One time he comes, he travels to where the Sanze Chassidim live at that time, for in his contemporaries. We're talking about a Rebbe who is the grandson already of the Sanze Rebbe of the Divrei Chaim. And he walks in, and it's in the month of Elul, and he asks, why are they not saying L'David? And no one has any answer for him. He says, why don't you say L'David? And I'll ask you a worse question. We know that the Sanze Rebbe's grandson, the Rebbe Chaskel Shinever, the Divrei Cheskel, the Shinever Rav, they do say L'David. So it's a stira minebe. How come some Chassidim are saying L'David and some Chassidim are not saying L'David? What's going on over here? So he says, I'll tell you what happened. I know you don't know why, but I'll tell you what happened. He said there was a tremendous Baal Shem. A Baal Shem is a person who knows the Shemos HaKadoshim, is able to manipulate things in this world based on the Shemos HaKadoshim, who lived in the 1600s, in the 16th century, in the 1500s, a contemporary of the Marshal, by the name of Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem. We have recordings from him. We have shuvas from Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem. In the time of Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem, the story goes that the ruler, the Shulton in that particular town, didn't have any children. And he didn't have any children. He wanted the Jewish community to daven for him that he should have children. And he says, I want you to daven for me. And how am I going to know if you're davening for me? Well, the only way to know for sure that you daven for me is if I have a child. But if I don't have a child, I will assume that you didn't daven, or at least you didn't daven enough for me. And they don't know what to do. The Tzibur doesn't know what to do exactly. So Rav Eliyahu Baal Shem was living in that place in Chelm at the time. And he says, I will take care of it. And the story goes that he went through all his koiches, all the shameless of Hashem, and nothing was worth. The Malachim, no one was willing to approach the Kisei HaKavod for this Goyish ruler. So then he said, I'm going to go to the Tzad HaTumah. I'm going to go to the Sitra Achra. I'm going to go to the Shadim. And I'm going to try to appeal using the Koychos HaTumah to try to make sure that this ruler has some child. This Maisa goes, quoted in this Sefer Nezer HaKodesh, that he was successful, but he lost everything that he had. He lost who the Gzar Din was, since he went and used the Shemos HaTumah. He used the Koychos of the Sitra Achra. He lost Olam HaZeh, and he lost Olam HaBa. The Lashon in the Sfarim are Nefesh, Ruach, Uneshama. He lost the whole thing. Everything he's ever accomplished, he had lost. And then the Malachi Ashares start fighting on his behalf. Such a tzaddik, such a gun, you're going to let the whole thing be lost? So they say, fine. This is what the Baal Shem Tov used to tell his Talmidim. There was a fight going on in Shemayim. What's going to be with Rebbe Eliyahu Baal Shem? And the Pshara was as follows. We're going to let him live. We're going to give him his Olam Haba, but we're going to be mevatel two takonas that he was misaking. What were the takonas that he was misaking? One was to say L'David all for Rosh Chodesh Elul. We're going to be mevatel it. The other was to say Kigavna. Very good. The other was to say Kigavna. And the Baal Shem Tov says, in order to ensure that this Gezerah becomes Mekuyim, he was mitzavah that some of his Talmidim don't say L'David, and his mitzvah, the other is Talmidim, don't say Kegavda. Either way, it's interesting to note that later on in generations, we know that this minhag sort of, for many groups in Klal Yisrael, fell by the wayside. Again, it could very well likely be because of this association with Shabtai Tzvi. So if this story is true, at the end of the day, we see that the Gzeirah was Mekuyim. This is the story behind saying L'David. Whether to say it seems like it's a minhag vasikin all the way from the 15th century, from the Talmidei HaRizal perhaps, and later on many stop saying it because of its association with Shabtai Tzvi.